You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
There's been a lot of rhetoric, a lot of chest pounding about whether or not we should use military action against Mexican drug cartels. And having read a lot about the operations of the drug cartels in Mexico and the difficulties that the Mexican government has had dealing with the cartels, I was always kind of curious as to how we would go about executing same. Brandon Buck joins us, research fellow in foreign policy studies at the Cato Institute, who recently authored an article called Invading Mexico Will Not Solve the Cartel Problem. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Very interesting article. You kind of lay it out historically about a number of operations that were done. You know, I think back to the typical product eradication when it was marijuana or cocaine, and now it's something entirely different that's synthetic and it's made in labs. And it just seems that they're not as obvious as to who they are, what they are, and where they are as they maybe once were in today's world. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so, you know, fentanyl is created synthetically. As you say, it's created in labs. And so this presents a particularly difficult problem for intelligence gathering on these kinds of operations, because whether it's marijuana or traditional opiates, you know, these have large visual signatures that you can either identify through, you know, human asset collection or satellite collection. That isn't the case with fentanyl. And so it makes it far more discreet, therefore difficult to track and interdict.
And you actually engage in two types of different challenges too, right? Or warfare, urban and rural, which is very difficult. And again, much like we experienced in Afghanistan and in the Middle East, who's the enemy? They're not readily apparent, are they?
No, they're not. I mean, particularly for the cartels, I mean, they control large tracts of territory in Mexico. They also operate in urban areas where a lot of these fentanyl labs are. Of course, they don't wear uniforms and the like. You know, they are a regular force, just like the Taliban or ISIS. And also, they're firmly integrated into the local population in a way that those groups also were. So, you know, tracking them would be difficult, but also striking at them would be as difficult, considering how integrated they are in the local population. And, you know, despite their obvious violent nature, you know, there are some pockets of Mexico that see them as a legitimate government authority, and therefore have them owe to them some sort of loyalty. So striking at them would also be difficult from that angle as well.
Has the designation of them as FTOs, foreign terrorist organizations, exacerbated this problem or made it easier?
Well, I mean, it's too early to tell. I mean, the Trump administration just put that order in a few days ago. It'll give the the Treasury Department some other avenues to confiscate certain money and those kinds of things. But as far as having a direct impact in Mexico, it's too early to tell. But I mean, there's one aspect of that. However, if they are branded as terrorist organizations, then violence that befalls Mexican citizens would give them a element of amnesty claims here in the United States. So this could, ironically enough, exacerbate one of the issues that the Trump administration is trying to get under control.
I know you've heard in a number of circles, and it's reflected in your article about special operations forces operating, inside of Mexico. Is that a strategy? It seems as though even those that are talking about it have some doubt as to whether or not that's a strategy that can be successfully executed.
Yeah, there's been certainly a lot of bluster on this issue, and I think those who propose it take for granted that special operation forces, when they operated in places like Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan, they did so in areas that were a permissive environment, meaning that the conventional U.S. military had a large footprint, and or the U.S. government had agreements with the local host government. So therefore, special forces were able to conduct their operations without having to worry about large maneuver forces of the enemy moving in on them, because they had copious air assets, intelligence collection platforms like UAVs, drones, and also large conventional forces that could be used to interdict insurgent forces and therefore prevent some kind of catastrophe or large firefight. That situation would not exist in Mexico, because the Mexican government has already said that they're not going to abide by this. And so if the U.S. government starts to send small special forces teams, special operations forces usually operate in teams as small as 8 to 12 or as large as maybe 30, you could put them into a position in which they could be overexposed without sufficient support. And then that would open up the door for a particularly bad outcome, in which those small forces would be operating in environments with equally sized, fairly well-armed forces of their own.
And the criminal element there has permeated the national police force, military as well in Mexico, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, and this would be a huge problem. This would be a significant problem with intelligence gathering, right? Because part of finding and fixing and destroying or capturing high value targets would be to go in beforehand and do some kind of intelligence gathering. But if the local government is corrupted through and through, it would be very difficult, if not impossible, to create those partnerships with local intelligence organizations in order to generate those leads. And then you would have to rely on other things like UAVs or drones and those kinds of technical collection assets. But those aren't perfect either. And then you would run into the same problems that we had in Afghanistan of having a certain level of fidelity on targets. And then that could open up all kinds of problems with collateral damage and the like.
I recall back in the 80s, I think the guy's name was General Arturo Durazo. You may be familiar with him. He was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. He was actually the head of the Mexican National Police Force and ran the largest American Express fraud scheme in the world. And they ultimately ended up taking him down. And I remember reading in one of the books, they were talking about how the graph flows uphill there, that almost every transaction that occurred in some of, I don't know if they what they call them, counties or whatever in Mexico, that he had his hand in almost every one of those transactions. There was a percentage that was paid to him. And I can't imagine it's much different today.
No, and I think this is the issue that when people bandy about the idea of using special forces as some kind of easy button, it's going to automatically put us into a escalation spiral in which, as you say, we're not only running up against bona fide members of the cartel, but this whole gray area of government officials who who may or may not be directly involved or might be tangentially involved through some kind of protection racket. And so from the bat, there's going to be a serious diplomatic fallout from this. The Mexican government's not going to abide violations of its sovereignty this way. And so this would immediately axe any of the other important diplomatic things that the Trump administration wants to get accomplished, like controlling the illegal migration or trying to counter Chinese influence in Latin America. Those would go up in smoke if the U.S. government decided to go kinetic in Mexico.
So what would be the best approach? Go after the money? I mean, obviously they're investing in our country, right? I mean, I'm not exactly sure. What would be the best strategy?
Right. I think it depends upon which aspect of this we're talking. I mean, if it's the fentanyl issue itself, very recently there's been a downward tick in opioid deaths. I think getting a handle on like what caused that, if that was a policy outcome, exploring that, double downing on it. And then as far as the law and order issue goes, and the violence that is done by the cartels in this country, we could do a more vigorous investigation and prosecution of cartel-related violence to break up those networks here in the United States. And as far as get some sort of handle on the border and try to tamp down as much as possible. But the solutions can't be worse than the problem itself. And I think going into Mexico in this way would almost assuredly do that.
And there's no quick fix, right? I mean, we didn't get to this position overnight. I mean, it was exacerbated somewhat during this most recent administration, but we've got to be able to stay the course on any number of these initiatives far past the current administration, no matter what the next or who the next administration may be.
Yeah, I mean, and there's ultimately going to be no victory in the war on drugs. This country's been fighting it now for half century. So the best you can do is ameliorate it, try to cut down on opioid deaths and the like. But I think there are certain law and order issues that could be exercised by the Trump administration on this side of the border without risking.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Escalation across the border.
Is this just a lot of bravado chatter, doubling down and seeing what the reaction's going to be?
I mean, it could be. It would certainly fit with the Trump administration's MO, this sort of madman theory that they, you know, this kind of Nixonian, diplomatic tool. So that could very well be it, much like some other aspects of his foreign policy and other, his foreign policy rhetoric and some other areas of the country. So, it could be just rhetoric. But, I mean, I'm concerned that there is, that we are creating a kind of permission structure in the mind of the conservative base to imagine this as being, you know, feasible. So I think as a matter of policy, we're about where we were on this issue last year, and there's been some positive developments. President Sheinbaum in Mexico has authorized this deployment of National Guard forces against the border. You know, there are certain steps being taken to get a better handle on the border itself. So, you know, over the next few weeks or months, if those steps have some positive outcomes, maybe we'll tone down a little bit on this particular possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the most recent decision of the reestablishment of Gitmo, right, in Guantanamo Bay. I mean, obviously, there's a huge negative connotation to that, no matter how you look at it, right? That's where we keep the worst of the worst. That's where we kept the terrorists from 9/11 and the whole nine yards. And there is a little bit of an uncertainty and kind of a fear factor that embraces. I kind of look at this other situation along the same lines. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, and I certainly hope that that's all that's going on here is a bit of rhetoric. But there's also been actions on this in Congress last year. Representative Dan Crenshaw introduced an authorization for use of military force, on this issue. So it's tough to say right now if this is just Trump waving a big stick, or if this is trying to pave the ground for an actual military incursion.
You make an interesting observation about what the Mexican authorities have done with the cartels, where actually we probably have more, I guess, splinter cartels, for lack of a better term. The more aggressive they got, in some cases, the smaller the cartel groups are. But do we even have an idea as to how many cartel groups exist inside of Mexico today?
Well, yeah, there's about four or five. There was the former, Sinaloa is probably the largest, and then there's CNTG, which is which is one of the more violent ones, and then there's the Gulf Coast cartels. But even then, you know, they kind of operate as a franchise. So it's difficult to say just how hierarchical their structures really are, and if there is a tight knit network which can be cracked, because as you say. You know, in the previous decades, the Mexican government had no problems taking out leadership of the various cartels. But as they splintered, they got more violent, as usually happens whenever criminal networks are broken up, and it didn't have any noticeable influence on the flow of drugs into the United States. So I think proponents of this idea haven't taken that into account. And when they do, they sort of yada, yada, yada past, what would the steps be in order to achieve success where the Mexican government has failed. And as far as I see, those who were bandying this about haven't done that.
Yeah. And going back to what you said before, the fact that this is synthetic in nature and you can set up a lab almost anywhere, they're not very complex, they're not sophisticated, they don't need to be. They become very efficient at what they do. I mean, sky's the limit as it relates to production. And that's the real challenge, right?
Yeah, that's right. Before I was at Cato, getting my graduate degree, I worked in the intelligence community doing counterintelligence. I'm sorry, counterinsurgency work in Afghanistan, particularly attached to to special operations forces. And a big part of what we were trying to do was trying to track down narcotics smugglers who are affiliated with the Taliban, believing that if we could take them out, we could eliminate the funding sources of the Taliban and therefore have some sort of influence on the battlefield. And spoiler alert, that didn't happen. We could not take these people out fast enough. We could not degrade or destroy the networks fast enough. And that was with traditional opiates, poppy crops there.
Poppy fields.
Now, the issue in Mexico. Yeah, what's
nothing's
that?
More apparent than a poppy field, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and you could see the labs that they would make them there. You could see those from satellites. The problem is even worse than that now in Mexico, because as you say, it's because of the synthetic nature. It's far easier to conceal and to move around, and so trying to attack those networks. It would be immeasurably more difficult because of that aspect, but also because of the intelligence problem.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what path they take for certain, and we will check back with you. I spent 40 years in law enforcement, 10 years as an elected sheriff, and this is something I saw in the streets of our community each and every day. It was frustrating. We made a lot of arrests. We eradicated a lot of drugs, but it's still here and there's still some prevalence. And, you kind of wonder, it has to be a multi-tiered approach, but you got to be able to stay the course for long periods of time, in my view. And, this kind of piecemeal thing that we always find ourselves in, I don't see a huge ROI there.
That's right, and I would have to agree.
Yeah. Brandon Buck, thank you so much for joining us. Truly appreciate your time, your insight. We will definitely check back with you. Brandon's a research fellow in foreign policy studies at the Cato Institute. Thank you so much, sir, and have a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll check in with Kevin Dolio, Director of Aviation for the Louis Armstrong New Orleans International Airport. When we return, stay with us.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.